May 14th, 2021. Kathleen Pearl here, the day of the Lord, unroll the scroll. Today is the 73rd anniversary of Israel's rebirth back into the Middle East, as laid out in prophecy, which I'm not going to go into. There's a very violent war that has been in progress, well, actually since Jerusalem Day on Monday, Al-Quds Day, according to the Arab world, and Hamas and Hezbollah behind it. Now all the nations are getting dragged into this conflict between the Arabs and the Israeli, weighing in on their opinions of what everyone should do, and the violence is just escalating. So I'm going to talk about this, what the day of the Lord is, according to Zechariah. There are several scriptures that talk about the day of the Lord in the Old Testament. We're going to look at some of the minor prophets. I'm going to go over them. And then a summary of the trumpet judgments, which have begun. This is actually part two of the day of the Lord. So, Father, thank you for this time. Touch my voice, Lord. Help me. This is a very almost agonizing subject to discuss and to deliver, because we come and approach your holy word with reverence and humility in the sacred text, knowing that we only know in part, unless you reveal, and that these are the days of Daniel, chapter 12, where the scroll is being broken up, open, and the wise shall have insight and instruct others, and the wicked shall not understand what is going on. So in Malachi 4, 5, Elijah the prophet is coming before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Acts 2:20, which was the outpouring of Pentecost. Isn't that interesting that Pentecost is going to be the Sunday after this? It's also called the Day of the Lord, and also in Revelation 6, 12, and 17. But let's look at the Zechariah 14, 1, 6 scripture. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and your spoil shall be divided in the midst of you. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravaged, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut." Right, shall not be cut off from the city. "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, toward the city on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mount shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." All right. And I'm going to read verse 5 also. "And you shall flee in the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azel. Yea, you shall flee as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with you." Okay, so that is the day of the Lord, the return of the Lord, which the Father in heaven knows. All right. I'm going to cover some of the book of Joel, an Obadiah scripture, and some of the Zephaniah scriptures, and then we'll go to Revelation 8. So here we go. Joel. 1:15. In the day of the Lord. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from Almighty it shall come. Joel 2:1. Blow you the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, for it is near at hand. 2:11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Who can abide the day of the Lord? So the outbreak right now that's happening is the worst since 2014, which is significant because it's 2021. That was 7 years ago. And there's a cyclical demarcation that's happening, a timing. In the first day of the Lord, I cover a lot of the celestial events and other things that are dovetailing, converging is the word, at this time in the next couple of weeks. So let's look at Joel 2:31. The sun shall be turned into, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And really, the scripture continues through at chapter 3, 1 and 2. So I'm going to read it. For behold, in those days, and in that time when I will bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them. And will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. All right. Joel 3:14. So we know the battle in the heavenlies is great right now. In intercession several days ago, I think it was on Wednesday, actually. So today is Friday. I saw a guardian angel, warrior angel. And he took a huge stance, a thrusting stance, and he had a spear. He had an ancient Philistine spear in his hands. The spearhead looks like the Ace of Spades. And he thrust it forward twice. And then he was in front of a whole unit, of an angelic unit, and they were dancing war dances and beating the drums, the war drums. And they were preparing. And the war in the heavenlies is raging and manifesting on the earth now. Joel 3:14, multitudes in the valley of decision, and the day of the Lord in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened. Eclipses, they're coming up May 26th and June 10th, lunar and solar, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. So there's darkness coming. And the Lord shall also roar out of Zion, and his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy. It's not now, let me tell you. and there shall no longer be a stranger that passes through her anymore. And there, there's some key scriptures in Amos. Amos 5:18, in which, woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Eclipses, overshadowings of the celestial luminaries, and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? And then five. Okay, so I read that. Let's look at Obadiah real quickly. I'm not going to do a teaching. These are just bringing to your attention key scriptures. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reward shall return upon your own head. As Lance Lambert said in his last public speech, before he went home to be with the Lord, here's some years back, he went home to be with the Lord 2 weeks later. He said, you know, Jerusalem's going to come under God's judgment. It is in the prophetic word. And the nations are going to gather against it, and they're going to ravish it and destroy it, and there's going to be earthquakes, and there's all kinds of significant happenings. But woe to those nations that come against them and surround Jerusalem, because then the Lord will turn and bring his judgment upon those nations. And destruction will come to them for what? Touching his heritage. Because they are still dead in their sins. There are moves of the Holy Spirit. There are Jews coming to the Lord here, there, one, two, three. But it's in a time of trouble. Let's go to the book of Zephaniah here. Oh, where is Zephaniah? So this day of the Lord means the day, in my understanding, that God begins to judge the sin and bring the punishment. Execute the sentence for the judgment of the sin, 784, because it says there will no longer be a stranger in Jerusalem. It will no longer be unholy. Boy, that'll be something. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Poof. You stone us the prophets and crucify those that have been sent to you. Not until you say, Baruch HaVav Hashem Adonai. Not until you deal with the political leaders. There's been no real government for 2 years. There's illegitimate governments over the United States. But this is not about the United States, because the cup of trembling is Jerusalem. And the prophetic words center around, the epicenter is Jerusalem, the controversy of the whole world. Zephaniah, how are we in Habakkuk? Oh, sorry. Let's see. Haggai. Well, Zephaniah, it's only 3 chapters, this book, but it's packed. Some of the minor prophets have more prophetic words. Okay, so Ezekiel and Isaiah, especially Isaiah, has a lot to say in the last third of the book. The 66 books of Isaiah, the last 22 books, kind of divided into thirds, has to do with the end time events before the return of the Lord and the regathering of the Jews back into Israel. But here, Zephaniah 1:14, the great day of the Lord is near and hasten greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That is the day of wrath, the day of trouble and distress, the day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men. And if you see any of the news clips for the last week since Monday, today is Friday, you will see the distress. And the people are weeping and crying and dying. And they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. And that blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh like dung. And neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in that day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Ooh, makes me tremble. Zephaniah 2:2. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. This is a good time to repent, by the way. That's what Joel's all about. Repent, rend your heart, not your garments. Maybe God will turn. But I don't know. What's happening now is prophetic fulfillment. And I have a couple of words, scriptures that I got in intercession. And one of them is that the Lord is doing his strange and peculiar work now. So certainly don't want to presume on the Lord in any way. I've heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. This is a border issue. This is a boundary issue. Who has what? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all that is in it belongs to him. And he separates out the boundaries and designates where the nations shall live, according to Genesis. I would say that God is going to do some border redefinition and boundary redefinition now. Okay, Zephaniah 3:8. Therefore you wait upon me, says the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. I'm going to read the next verse. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Whoo, that's quite a prophecy. All right, let's go back to the heavy revy book, Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of what the devil was doing. It's the revelation of Jesus, the Lamb, breaking open the seals of judgment on the earth to purge it of the iniquity and wickedness. So, this is about the seventh seal, Revelation 8. We had covered the six seals earlier in, what was it, Revelation 6? Yes. And about the signs that were going to be manifesting over the earth at that time. So, I'm going to go to... And I have so many notes. It's just like, oh, the Lord is good. The Lord is gracious. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay. We are going to go to, we have covered the sixth seal. So the seventh seal is very, very important. And that, And when he had opened the seventh seal, There was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given to him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer. These are for the watchmen on the walls. These are one who cry out and pray day and night that until Jerusalem be made, you know, until Jerusalem really comes under the jurisdiction of the Lord God Almighty and his Son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire at the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Okay, so I'm not going to get into the angels sounding the seven trumpets. But what I do want to touch on is, let's drop down to chapter 9. And we are going to go, which is, there are three rows that are loosed by the angel. And there are, and you have to do an in-depth study. Of this yourself, but the seventh angel, when he sounds his trumpet, let me say, it says, the mystery of God shall be completed. The mystery of God shall be fulfilled. So that's in Revelation, and so here it is. So it's a woe, the third woe is the seventh trumpet. It's the last trumpet. And let's look at, I want to look at just real quickly, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, which speaks about the last trumpet. This is what we're talking about, the seventh trumpet here. 1 Corinthians 15, the last trumpet, 51 and 52 here. It says that, now behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed in what? The twinkling of an eye. So right now the restrainer is holding back until the God has finished and done what he said he was going to do.